We want to talk this morning about the control of the soul. Many of us don't know that we are the people who control our own souls. And because of this, we allow all manner of things to play upon our conscious mind and our feelings and everything like that. And this is what the enemy is doing. He's grappling after your feelings. He wants to disturb you. He wants to upset that delicate balance which God has put in your soul realm between your mind and your emotions and your desires and your will. There is a delicate balance which you must strive to keep. If you allow this balance to be upset, you will, be badly hurt. And this is what affects our bodies more than anything else. It's what goes on in the soul that affects the body. And so we want to read a few scriptures this morning. First of all, let us prove beyond the shadow of a doubt that you are a soul. You don't have a soul. You are a soul. In other words, you have a spirit and you have a body, but your soul is you. So you are not the person who I'm seeing. I'm just seeing the expression of you. You, your manifestation of your soul, which is you, and you use the body to manifest the things that are inside of you. You use your body to manifest that. And so you are a soul and you possess a spirit and you also possess a body. Praise God. So let us look now into these scriptures. Matthew chapter 10 and the verse 28, and hear Jesus himself speaking here. Matthew chapter 10, verse 28. And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. So you notice spirit doesn't go to hell. Fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. In hell. So we're going to take Ecclesiastes and find out of what happens to the spirit. Because if we are spirit, soul, and body, then Ecclesiastes 12 and 7. Ecclesiastes 12 and 7. That is just behind the Psalms there, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Songs of Solomon. Praise the Lord. Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. Then shall the dust return to the earth, and the spirit return to God who gave it. So if you are spirit, soul, and body, the destiny of the spirit is back to God. The destiny of the soul is to its own choosing, where it chooses to go, whether hell or heaven. And the destiny of the body is to the earth, but there is something after that. Spirit goes up to God. The soul goes either way, and the body goes back to the earth. As in the first lap of the transit series, neither can they die anymore, for they are equal to the angels and are the children of God, being the children of the resurrection. Well, this only shows a continuation, of course. It is a continuation of the spirit and the soul, but it isn't said clearly here. Now, let's turn, therefore, to 1 Thessalonians 5 and 23. Paul speaking to the church, 1 Thessalonians 5 and 23, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, Thessalonians. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we see here that the spirit and the soul and the body are going to be present at the coming of Jesus Christ. Well, you want a scripture now that is going to prove to you that your body is also to be saved, that your body should also be saved. Now turn your Bibles for me to Romans 8, and somebody read aloud for me verse 23. Of our bodies. So this says that we are going to redeem the body from the earth. Isn't that the most marvelous thing you could ever conceive or hear or think of? I mean, these men have been arguing for years. You plant a tree, the tree sucks up the substances from a person's body. You ship the fruits abroad, and somebody eats the fruits, and it drops another tree, and it's gone, and that one man's parts might be scattered over the whole earth. Praise the Lord. Over the whole earth. And then, at the resurrection, soul and body meet again. That means that that body is going to have to be called forth from every quarter of the earth. Some men have been blown up like the bomb that fell on Hiroshima and Brother. They have been atomized. Their bodies have been thrown back into its original form, atoms. And it's in the wind and the rain and in the evaporation and the seas and the rivers, scattered all over the earth. God Almighty said that at the voice of the archangel and at the trump of God, that the dead in Christ shall rise. So you can understand what God is saying here, that we are going to receive this absolute power to recreate the body, and the power is going to be received in the soul. You see, it is the soul that is the seat of life, the seat of all power. Scripture said, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. God is telling you, don't mess around with your heart. That's in plain language. Don't fool around with your heart, because your heart is where the life is coming from. And when you get your heart hitched onto this bandwagon and hitched onto that and torn here and hurt here, then you have nothing to serve God with. For you'll be actually destroying the very seat of communication and fellowship between you and God. You know, let me show you what I mean. Something comes and buffets you, and life seems to tear you, and somebody, you didn't do anything, somebody just come out of nowhere and slam into you and hurt you, and you got away from that person, and somebody else come along and do, and you just wonder, well, what they have against me? Well, why should they be attacking me? Why should the world be so much against me? The reason why is they want to get at your heart. Amen. They want to make you hard. You see, because the devil will win you if he can beat your body to make your heart hard. And so, if you get a hard heart, you say, okay, nobody else is going to have anything over me. And you get so tough and so hard. Man, it's so horrible to see a person without compassion, to meet a person with such a hard heart. And when you go down into the whole story, that person wasn't always like that. He wasn't always like that. But he got hardened because of the buffetings of life. And he learned the tricks. And he got hard. So the whole world is after your heart. Whole world is after your heart. After your heart. And you ask me the question, brother, this is, what's my heart? Your heart is that delicate point of balance between your spirit, soul, and body. Your body says, I like that. And your spirit says, no. And your soul says, well, I think I'll go along with the body. Your heart has shifted over to the flesh. Your heart is in the corner. Spirit says, no. And you make a decision. And you decide on the spirit side. Your heart is in the spirit. Amen. If you take Ecclesiastes 10, somebody read verse 2 for me, you will see that this picture of the heart is absolutely right. Ecclesiastes 10, a wise man's heart is at his right hand, but a fool's heart is at his left. Amen. A wise man's heart is at his right hand in the spirit. A fool's heart is at his left in the body realm. You see, the right hand is always the hand of the spirit, and the left hand is always the hand of the flesh. And so your heart being on the right side is a spiritual heart, and the heart being on the left side is a carnal heart. And so God said, wherever your treasure lies, there, that's where your heart is. Amen. If you want to touch a man's heart, you'll go touch his treasure. Amen. Now we see this here. We're talking about the control of the soul. First of all, let us decide what the soul is. The soul is mind. The soul is emotion. It is will. And it is desire. The human being has, the soul has four realms, four areas. Actually three, but one is divided in two. Your soul is mind, emotions, and will. But the emotion is divided into two parts, desires and feelings. Amen. And these two parts of the soul, the whole soul, is controlled by spirit over the soul. Amen. And that is the spirit of man, that's this spirit here. But the spirit is controlled by the spirit of God. Now, there you can cut the control between your spirit and God, and a demon spirit can preside over your soul, or the spirit of the world can preside over your soul. You know, some of you sisters wouldn't think of wearing certain things unless it was in style. And no matter what is in style, no matter how it looks, you wear it because it's in style. And this is the way, this is a pull that the world has on all of us. You see, you don't want to be laughed at. You don't want people taking off their glasses down the street to look at you going out on the street. You don't want to stand out like a sore thumb. Therefore, you go right along and you wear what they want you to wear. So the spirit of the world, some preside over some people's souls so badly that all their actions are controlled by the world. Most men don't control their homes. It is the thoughts of all the people out there that control their homes. Control them so badly that they do all what the people want to do. They will must be like the Joneses. You see. So this is what God's doing for us, taking us out of Babylon. Taking our minds away from the carnal mind, from the world thought, from the rush onward rush like a torrential river rushing down the thoughts of people. God is taking us away from this thought pattern and giving us a new thought pattern named Jesus. So I look forward to the day when Christian women and Christian men will think and develop at the thought pattern which is just Jesus. That's what we call the mind of Christ. You don't wear anything because other people are wearing it. You don't do anything because other people are doing it, but you do it because of Christ Jesus inside of you likes it. Amen. And then all the Christians will be moving just that way because Jesus likes what they do it. So you see that the thought pattern coming from the world, if the board was just a little bigger, oh, that big board down yonder. The world, the flesh, and the devil. Would you accept that for the world, Chief? World, flesh. I know you will accept this for the old man. Because, you know, kind of ugly. So, they are the world, the devil, the world and the flesh preside and struggle. It's a fight, it's a warfare to get a hold of your mind. Wants to get your attention. Now, the way they get to some of us minds is through our eyes. You see, we've got five senses which connect us with the world. Take away your eyes, take away your feelings, take away your smell, take away your taste. You're not here. I mean, your intellect, of course, would still think that you are in the world, but you'd have no contact with this realm. So our contact with this realm are some basic natural things, parts of our body. So it is by the body that we have contact with the natural world. And by the spirit, we have contact with the spiritual world. So now the natural world is sending static into the soul. And the spirit world is sending beams of light into the soul. These lights come into the Spirit of God, through the Spirit of God, into you. Now the reason why the Spirit of God can take charge of one end of man's being is because the spirit of the devil had taken charge of the other end. You understand, in the warfare, pardon me, between God and the devil, it's not that God stands up toe-to-toe slugging with the devil. It's not that. God isn't fighting the devil at all. God is giving you the power to fight the devil. That's how it goes. God's giving you the power to fight the devil, and God won't come down here and lift a finger. Because if he lifts a finger, the devil is finished. And God doesn't want to finish with the devil until sin is put down. And God cannot put down sin until you let it loose. In other words, sin and evil is a principle. Sin and evil is a principle of thought, a thought pattern, a theory that existed before the devil. Evil, the thought of evil, the idea of evil, the theory of evil existed before there was a personal devil, before evil took on any personality, before evil got anybody to be evil. Are you with me? In other words, the idea of pollution, it didn't just start now. It began before we built a car. Before we built a car, there was the idea, the theory, the knowledge that if you built a car, it would create pollution, and a certain number of cars would create a problem with pollution. Amen. It was understood that if we became a highly industrial nation, if we used so many industrial gimmicks and so many different strange materials to make our things, plastics and all this, we would have a certain amount of waste going into the air, which would eventually poison our atmosphere. So this thought existed before the creation of the actual thing was done. Are you still with me? Are you with me? Okay. So then evil was an outcome of good. Evil was an outcome of good. Evil only came because of good. Good was presented, and the moment good was presented, the possibility of the opposite of good existed. Amen. Now because of this, God has to do away not with the devil, just the devil alone, but with every idea and thought that would create another devil. Follow me? So if God should say what and cut the devil off today, tomorrow somebody else would be a devil just the same. Men would still be devils. Yeah. And God is going to take away the devil for 1,000 years, and men will still be sin. And at the end of time, they will still get up and go to the devil when the devil comes again. Don't you see what I'm saying? So God does not want to do away with the devil just like that. He wants to do away with the principle of evil. And the only way God is going to do away with the principle of evil is when you and I are able to kick the sin habit. And after we kick the sin habit, we kick the devil. And then we will have the power to recreate our body and bring forth life in the earth and stop evil and sin, and we will be the everlasting watchmen. Through all the ages, nothing else will be able to come back and sin again. God will stop it. You see? So this is a process we are going through. And if you understand this process, therefore, you understand the war in the soul, the war in your soul. Now this is marvelous, it's wonderful that God has given us the power to sanctify and cleanse our own souls and deliver ourselves from this brute nature which we hate. Hallelujah. Yes, sir? Yes, sir. I was running down the street as mad as a hatter, doing all kind of violence and just mad and praying at the same time. I said, God, I hate all this thing. Can't you take me out of here? Yes, sir. Yeah. I went party, drinking and dancing. And while I'm dancing and drinking, I said, wait, I wonder if there's a God that could ever take me out of this. Amen. You see, I hated evil and I hated the devil. I just felt if I had caught the devil, I would have fought him. And one brother came to me at one time in the church. I was pastoring. You know, in Jamaica, these men have their sharp machetes. And they going through the bushes, you know, and they would, a twig would be before them, just ching, cut it off. And they have it in their side there. And a man would just drudge his machete like you would keep a pen knife in your pocket, long knife like this. They would keep it here. And he'd come to church sometimes, come to church with their machetes. And then this man would, you know, just gingerly put his machete down and come in and sit in service so tenderly and so reverently, you know. And he'd be talking to you and he takes off his cap. And he takes off his cap and he has his machete there. Praise God. Well, this fellow came in and he said, he was giving his testimony. He said, oh, I just wish the devil was a man. I would just cut him to pieces. Hallelujah. I understood his sentiment. He said, I'll just finish with him once and for all, you know. Amen. You see, he believed in his weapon. And he was just so happy to fight the devil and just cut him to pieces. And so, it's not as easy as all that. We have now the idea, the thought, the great glory that we have in this hour is that God has given us this knowledge and this power to deliver our souls from the devil. The Holy Ghost is a magnificent power of God. You loose him. When you go lie down quietly at night, tempt him to come in and loose and dare him to take over and to break down every sin in you and to wreck the things you hate in you. And oh, just talk to him. Tell him to do it. You tell him to do it and see what happens. See, it may be painful sometimes, but it's going to work. You see, this is where we are lost in the church system. The church system don't try to make us spiritual people. The church system seems to hold us down, dear, keeping programs and doing things and good works and all like that. God wants the greatest work is in your heart to set you free inside here. My God, that's the greatest work on earth to set a human being free. So here we are. Your mind is all tied up. Your mind is all clogged up because there are things coming from influences coming from another world. Now this body here is your problem. You see, I'll make the board less confusing so that you can see what I'm at. The realm of the body is a problem because the devil presides over everything carnal. If you want to have trouble, you get into some carnal thing. Satan get behind it, and if he can't get you, get somebody who can get you. And the realm of the physical, the natural, the carnal, that's the realm in which Satan is king. Did you know he's a king? Yes, he's a king. He is reigning in the realm of the carnal. Therefore, whenever your mind goes into the carnal, you are in his kingdom. That's why when you are in the spiritual, you turn him off. He can't function. When I say the spiritual, I'm not talking the evil spiritual. I'm talking the good spiritual, because there are two spiritual realms. Now, we find here, therefore, that the your eyes, your hands, your contact with the Word. One day, I said to God, God, I can't see where I have any weaknesses at all. I can't see wherein I sin at all. And God said, sanctify yourself. I said, but oh, sanctify myself. I'm not committing anything, Lord. I'm not committing anything. God said, okay, you know how you sanctify yourself. You take the cup to wash it, and you wash it part by part, part by part, part by part. You wash the bottom, you wash the outside, you plunge it in water, you get around and rub it. And so he said, do that to yourself. So I said, okay, Lord, I'm going out tomorrow in the morning now, and I'm going to watch my hands, that my hands don't sin. I'm going to watch my eyes, that my eyes don't sin. I'm going to watch my mouth, that my mouth doesn't sin. My feelings, nothing is going to sin. And all my limbs and my members that are in the world, if they don't sin, I say, I can't sin. I said, okay, I'm going out this morning. So out I went to work that morning. I'm walking down the street and praising God, making sure that my mind, now nothing is going to sin this morning. Felt so good, man. Got up on the step, the high step up there. It was a high step, you know, with a landing. Going into my office, and I saw a piece of chip on the step. The first thing comes to me, somebody might step on that chip and get. So I lifted my foot, and in the true football style, I punched the chip off the step, and the chip went down and round the curve. I've never seen a chip do that in my life. Presently, a man came running out the curve, holding his eyes. He said, you almost knocked my eyes out. He didn't ask me if I God said, if your feet were righteous, they wouldn't do that, you know. It obeyed the devil. That's what happened. My feet just up and obeyed the devil because I used to be a footballer, and it just went right back into the old days. And I said, my God, could this be true, or am I just, you know, kind of being too meticulous or something like that, you know, over-righteous, you know. And by the time I got in, sat down at the typewriter, I was facing the window like this. And now I turn my back to the office, facing the window, and there I have these things typing, and I saw some visitors coming on there. You know, visitors visiting the farm. And as they were visiting, my eyes caught on some of the girls, and I began to analyze them as they're coming on. And then suddenly God said, your eyes are not righteous, you know. And I found out that, well, they were just as sinful as anybody else's eyes. And I said, my God, this is bad, you know. Get myself together. And I began to fail the test. And every time I would fail a test, God would call to me. There was a guy behind me there. He always liked to talk rude jokes. And he would just keep on rattling off these jokes, and these other men were just laughing all through the day. So he kept rattling off a joke behind me here. Of course, he knows that I don't give in to his jokes, you know, and all that. But then he was telling a story that was so interesting that I was there typing and listening to the story. And then somebody came in, a customer came in, and he broke off. And I wanted to hear the end of the story, you see. Then I realized that I was listening, you know. My ears weren't righteous either. And God fixed me up so badly that day that I was wretched when the day was over. I realized that I didn't even just start righteousness yet. You see, so your members, that's what Paul was saying. He said, sanctify your members which are in the earth. Sanctify your members which are in the earth. And if you don't use your members to sin, you don't sin. So you have to use your members to sin, and these all come from the body realm. There's something worse than the body realm, but let's deal with the body realm first. Now the body realm has power over the desire. The body realm has power over the desire, the soul desire. Because a lot of your desires come through your body. You go down the street, you see the shop and windows, you see the beautiful things they put out. They put those things out there to catch you. It's a bait. I just hate to see the bait they put out. You know, watch it. You ever watch how the windows are fixed? These people are trained. I don't know, some of you here might be, that might be your job. But you are trained. Every time I talk to people, sometimes I get into these corners. These people are trained how to be interior decorated. I didn't say inferior decorated. I said interior decorated. And they are trained how to put things. You know, I saw one of those mannequins. They put up the leg like this. They're advertising the dress, you know, not the mannequin. And then they draw the dress up. And you're going down, minding your own business, going down the street. All of a sudden, you see a naked leg. You know, you look around to see if it's a person or a mannequin, but you see the dress. That's what they want you to see. And they throw a piece and make it kind of revealing, you know. Half throw a piece of cloth around something, and they know how to fix that thing to catch you. Now, if you are of the mind of Christ, you will resist this sort of thing. You'll resist this sort of carnal, world, devilish trap that they set for you. And so the body is the thing that is in the world exposed, and it gets these impulses. Now, these impulses hit the desires, and the desires have a direct contact with the emotions. So the desires control the emotions, and it gives you feelings. When you desire a thing, it gives you feeling. If you like a dress, when you wear it, you have a certain feeling. Amen. You like somebody to say, well, I like that. It's nice, you know. Good looking and so on. And you just, strange enough, most of all, adult lives are to catch other people's eyes. The very things we put on is to catch people's eyes, you know. You put on sackcloth. Let's say you don't wear the beautiful cloth. You put on sackcloth, like some of us, the fellas, I say, put on just a burlap sack, cut out here, and cut out here and here, and put on. What's that for? To catch people's eyes. You're doing your own thing, you know. You come down with a patch on your sleeve, or a big patch around here, or something else. You are doing all that to catch people's eyes. We think more of catching people's eyes than utility. Mm. I went out the street the other day and I saw it was so cold. I mean, not because I was a Jamaican, but it was just 20-something degrees. And a girl was there with a dress away up here. And man, she was cold. She was waiting for the stop sign, you know, and she was just, you know, she was cold, but she had to be in style. You know, it's just wretched. So we have the desires here are blasting the emotions, pumping death into the emotions, really bringing it carnal, bringing it down. Then we find here the mind intercepts. The mind intercepts. If Christ is dealing with the mind, there is an interception. And the mind keeps blasting up that controls between the emotions and the desires. Now, Jesus Christ's blood is in the will. And you want to be like Jesus Christ, yet you want to be like a film star down in Hollywood. From over here, you're admiring some wretched person in your body realm. And you want to be like that film star. You want to look like her. You want to behave like her. You want to behave like him. And yet, here you find the mind bombarding this thought. And bless God Almighty, as Paul said, he said, bringing every thought into subjection. You know, the mind is bombarding the thought, and the will is holding fast. I want to be like Jesus. I want to be like Jesus. I want to be like Jesus. You know, although I want so and so, I still want to be like Jesus. You can imagine the warfare that goes on. All the pattern of your actions then are going to follow these two thoughts. I want to be like that film star. In other words, I want to be like the devil, but I want to be like Jesus. And you see, they keep jarring and keep struggling. And sometimes you find a happy medium between both of them. Half devil, half Jesus. You know. And this keep fighting, but the Jesus part of you won't ever give up. Just keep bombarding, keep bombarding. Well, there's one way to help your emotions. You might have a devil in your emotions. Sometimes there's a devil in the emotions to be cast out. And there's one way of helping it. And that is, if it's being fed by the devil, and the devil is feeding through the body realm, the physical realm, you need to strike your desires. If you can hit your desires, God showed me this some long time ago, and I was able to arrest my desires. It said, if you desire nothing, the devil can't tempt you with anything. Amen. You just start desiring nothing, the devil can't tempt you with anything. So, if you can get at the desire, you will be able to control the emotion. Amen. So, how do you get to the desire? Well, the desires come mostly from the body. So you hit the body. How do you hit the body? Get that body down in some fasting. Get that body down in some fasting. There's nobody who can live righteous without fasting, especially young people. You can't live righteous without fasting. You have got to fast and to get the devil out of you. Jesus Christ said, this kind cometh not out but by fasting and prayer. Fasting cuts down the body and prayer builds up the spirit. Fasting cuts down the flesh, prayer builds up the spirit. If there's warfare between the spirit and the flesh, the one warreth against the other, and to cut the flesh and to give the spirit a boost is victory. So if you want to be faithful, if you want to have faith in God, and you don't have faith in God, the only way to do it is to hit at that area and faith begin to develop. Now, you find, therefore, that when you do that, you want to know, but I can't fast. I have to work every day. I can't go up to it. Well, praise God, God has provided a way for everybody. You can fast. You can start fasting just half a day. Have no breakfast. Just go to your lunch. You have your lunch. And one sister said to me, I fasted for 1 year. I'm fasting for 1 year. Every day I have no breakfast. I said, sister, you lost your point. If you fast for 1 year, it's not fast again. It's habit now. You don't need breakfast. Your body adjusts itself, therefore you're not fasting. Amen. You have got to fast and stop fast. Fast a day or two. You go 3 days, 3 half days, and you stop. And you eat and get back normal. You see, it's a jerk class. You call it. You jerk it. And get that body in tune. Yes, brother. Quite. You adjust to it, and then afterwards you want no more meat again, so you'll become a Seventh-day Adventist. You're not fasting. You see, so I had fasted to a point of saturation where I could don't eat for 3 days, don't drink any water, work strong as ever. I fasted to a point of saturation where I could don't eat for 3 days, don't drink any water, work strong as ever, chop wood, do anything. For 3 days I would go on without water or food because I got used to it. So I lost the strength of the fasting. Amen. So you see, you can overdo anything. But now when you do it like that, you said, all right, then you say, I'm going to fast a whole day. And you fast that whole day and you drink honey and warm water or cold, any way you like it. Take as much orange as you can. Please don't take the orange juices that they are putting out, because they are not fully orange juice. Most of them are mixed, vitaminized, and they say they put additives to them and all like that. You don't want any additives. You want just citric acid, orange juice. That's what you're going to take. So buy the oranges and juice them and drink them or eat them or eat the grapefruits or any citrus. You see, lime, anything you want to take. You take that, take as much water, as much honey as you want, and you keep out for a day or two. And so you gradually break that body in, and then please don't just jump and swallow heavy food with heavy proteins and things like that after your fasting, because your body has to begin to start making the juices to digest your food before you throw food down in your stomach. And therefore, if you drink other juices that will help you on, and drink milk and drink something else, you will be better off than just jerking the body up and down. You see, because when you start fasting, the body stops making the juices that digest your food. And or it makes it in less quantity. You don't need it anymore. So the body begins to adjust itself, stop making these juices. Then all of a sudden, bam, you throw some heavy food or heavy protein or something else like in your stomach, and your body is on a rush to get out of your bloodstream all these juices to come and digest it. You see, it's not good. So I am saying this, brethren, that we are talking about the control of the soul. This soul, your soul nature, must not be a wild beast. It must be under proper control. And this control, God has given you the power to control your soul. You must control your soul by the powers which God has given you. Now, you have the mind. What is the mind? The mind is a spiritual thing that presides over the brain. Your mind is a spiritual thing that presides over the brain. The chain of God's communication is God the Father, God the Holy Spirit, over your mind. Of course, you have Jesus in you, so I don't put that as God the Holy Spirit and Jesus. Then that's over your mind. Then your mind is over your soul. You see, and your soul is over your body. That's how you get action in the body from heaven. This is a chain of action. So the mind here is the spiritual energy, part of your being, that controls your physical brain, like a man that controls a computer. Your brain is a computer that controls your body. So the man that controls the computer is your mind. And the spirit that controls your mind is your spirit. And the spirit that controls your spirit is the Holy Ghost. See the chain of authority? And so this is how we get action in the mind. So therefore, when the energy begins to come through from heaven into your mind, you recognize it. That's how you prophesy. You sit down there and you hear certain things coming through. You didn't think that, but you just hear that in your mind. You hear, thus said the Lord, or something else. And you say, well, let me say it out and see what happens. And you say, thus said the Lord, and something else just came flowing through. And the moment you unplug that thing, water begins to flow. That's how you work into prophecy. Many of you didn't know that, but you must try it sometime. You can try it in meetings like this, because this is where you ought to be anyhow. You have no right in a church where you couldn't practice the gift of the Spirit. You see, you just have no right there. And praise God. You need to come among people like yourself. All of you meet together and let the flow begin to come. You pull that cork out and boom, the water begin to flow through. And there you have. So God is like you see, all spirit, the Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit, and God Father. And that chain is down there pressing. You pull that stopper here and push into your soul comes all the energy from heaven. And so this energy comes, it forms a will to serve God. Oh, you get such a strong will to serve God that you can't help yourself anymore. Oh, I'm not going to stay around here. I might as well go. You know, there's a pressure coming through because you've opened your mind to the Spirit. So this is the basic thought pertaining to the control of the soul. The mind, you say, how must I control my mind? Because sometimes some of us minds get wild. Now you control the mind by submitting the mind to the Spirit of God. You submit the mind to the Spirit of God by two ways. By talking to God and listening to God. Talking and listening is one way. And the other way is by reading the Word of God. You see. So sometimes you study a passage by heart. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Amen. You keep repeating that, that thing sinks down, deep down, deep down in your soul. That's what you call chewing cud. And you chew your cud while you're working in the daytime. You know, you memorize scriptures and chew your cud while you're working in the daytime. And God will break through into your conscious mind and give you such energy and such life you've never known before. Then in your quiet moments, you must have quiet moments. I don't know what you do to have your quiet moments, but you must have quiet moments. Now, one sister told me that she had to rob her sleep at night to have quiet moments. And it was telling on her body. She was getting weak and nervous and everything else because she was robbing her sleep at night to get the quiet moments because she couldn't get it any other time. I said, sister, you've got to find a way to break away. You have got to find a way to break away and to have quiet moments outside of robbing your sleep. And there are so many ways. There are so many ways, brethren. I mean, if you must even go down to the library and take a book like you're reading and just talk to God, there must be some way to get away. And I say, if you have children and you can't get away from them, then there is somebody else who has children and can't get away from them. Right? So all you have to do is arrange with the other sister who has children and can't get away from them, and you give her your children and you get away, and she gives you her children and she get away. And so body ministry starts right there. I know in one group They would have one day when all one sister keep all the children. To one or two sisters would keep all the children. And then they take the children to another house the next day, and each sister would get her time. Praise God, when you want to go to shopping center or somewhere else, you find something to do with the children. And so we have to make ways. But there is a quiet time with God that is invaluable. It's just invaluable. A great time for God is early in the morning before anybody else wakes. A great time for God before anybody else gets up. But you must go to bed early. Now that's bad advice when I keep you up till 1 o'clock. So, you know, early in the morning. Anyhow, it seems to me that we have got to make ways that the devil tries to jam us in our natural life in order to wreck our spiritual life. And he's not smarter than we are. You are determined to do something for God. Don't let him jam you. He'll make you sit up all night. And you could have done what you've been doing night some other time. Make you sit up all night in order to jam you next day that you can't hear the word of God. Make you sleepy and dizzy and just struggling. So this is the kind of thing we're talking about. We are dealing with a balance. A balance. And the Spirit and the Word is going to balance you and make you ride on an even keel. And then you get that body out of balance. You get that human being out of balance. Man, you just can't do anything. This is what the devil is trying to do every time. He makes your husband start quarrel or tearing up the place or grungy and this, that. He's trying to get you off balance. And if you be like a tightrope walker and learn how to keep on balance with all that the devil is going on with, you just beat him straight and bang. So this is what we are talking about. The control of the soul. You must control your own soul by the Spirit of God and by the Christ that is within you, and don't allow the external circumstances to control you. Just don't allow them. Tell them that you are boss here. Don't allow it, regardless of what you're going to lose. Let it go. But don't allow the external circumstances to control your soul. God bless you. In Jesus' name. Now we can talk about it. Hallelujah. You see, one scripture says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So, if the world is going to set the pattern for what you should think, then it's the world controlling you. Do you know I can control you by reverse psychology? I can, listen, I'm going to do something here now. Uh-huh. You see what I made her do? Amen. Quiet. She put up her defenses. I lift that book as if I was going to hit her, and she put up her defenses. So I can make her put up her defenses when I want to. And from that point, I can make her do other things. And this is the way the devil does it. Amen. If he can control you by coming against you and cause you to make an opposite action against him, then he's controlling you by reverse psychology. And once he begins to do you that, he'll do you other things to make you do other things, and he keeps doing you, until he gets you doing what he wants you to do. By just doing the opposite. Amen. See? Praise God. So, yes, brother.
Then, when we're bothered by the evil spirit, it's primarily in the area of emotion?
No. You see, the evil spirits can occupy the body.
Oh, right.
They can occupy the body. They can oppress the body. They can oppress the mind. But the only way they can oppress any area of you is when that area is in their territory. Because if the mind is in Christ, they can't touch it. And this is a secret. If your emotions are in Christ, they can't touch it. If your will and desires are in Christ, they can't touch it. But it's when you are walking in their area that they can hurt you. And they are always studying you, always studying you. You come here, you get this lesson, they are here, and they are going to make a counter move against you, you know. And the strangest thing, they might come to you and say, you know, that fellow is right, you know. You know. And by the time you say, well, this must be the Lord speaking to me. He said, but there is one thing wrong there. You know what I mean? And it comes right around, just like any old wretched psychologist. They study you for 6,000 years, and they know humanity. At least they think they know humanity. If they really know humanity, they would throw in their towel. Because I, from what I know of humanity, the thing that God made, this thing is going to continue. It will beat them right down into the ground. Yeah, that's what human beings are. You see, you watch the fight in Vietnam. You think those people would get tired of fighting, wouldn't you? They never get tired of fighting. They get more acclimatized to the fight. And this is what is happening with humanity. We have been beaten and kicked and beaten and kicked by devils until God has allowed us to be beaten and kicked in order that we might rise up one day and just finish the battle. God gives you the tools and you keep being beaten and kicked. Being beaten and kicked. All by these demon spirits. You like to see demon spirits have our people tearing them to pieces, wrecking every marriage, turning them into the hospitals, killing them with all cancer and all these kind of things. And it begins to well up in the hearts of some. But we have the power to stop them. We do have the power to stop them. We do have the power. You go, oh God, give me the power to stop them. And then God begins to come through. Because you see, if God gives us power and we are not matured, we'll do the wrong things with power. So we need to get matured and at the same time get the amount of power that we need. And so as we progress, God is just smiling back there. You see, because he knows what's going to happen. He's got the patience to wait. And he's waiting, and in our time we are going to see men rise up into the full stature of Jesus Christ and take over the kingdom from the devil. Hallelujah. This is glorious. This is beautiful. Amen. You see, that's why God can afford to sit down and see all this destruction going on. And I figure God just stand back there smiling. All the shooting and killing and the wretchedness. And God says, okay. He believes, he knows we're going to win. He knows we're going to win. That the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain, waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. Hallelujah. You see, so when some of our poor brethren go around and say they are already manifested sons of God, you need to pray for them. Because Paul said, if you were perfect, then I would rejoice, for I would be perfect too. So it is. If one man comes to brother, the whole thing's going to break down. Satan will be torn to pieces. He'll bind the devil and all of us will be set free. So the first fruits are going to do just that. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. Any more questions?
God holds their mind.
We'll
go on then to what?
Body.
Emotions, desires, body.
Yeah, well, you see, soul is mind, emotion, desire. And when this mind is so powerful, brother, that the mind controls the emotion. You know, at one time I thought it was the nervous system that controlled my feelings. I found that it was my mind that controlled my feelings. Because here comes a man and he hypnotized this boy. And after he hypnotized the boy, he pushed a needle right through the boy's head and the needle came out the other side. And the boy didn't feel the needle, you see. The next thing, he called a girl and he took one leg, one feet and put it on one chair and he put her head on the other chair and he held it like this and he suggested to her that she was as stiff as a piece of wood. And the child just was as stiff as a piece of wood. He stood up on her. And she didn't flinch. You see, it's her own mind that did all that. And I mean, if you just realize how powerful this mind is, you all the antibiotics and things they use, that mind could have told yourself that, well, you're dead in this part of your body and you didn't feel it. Because we are not in control. This is what is causing the problem. Of course, we're not preaching mind over matter. We're preaching Jesus Christ over mind over matter. Amen. That's the difference. You see, the people who preach mind over matter, metaphysics, they go into a different area now where they don't have Jesus. And they say mind over matter. So who is it over mind? The devil. You see, so the devil got for such a preaching because he takes over the mind. And then he shows them some results. Devil over mind over matter. But this one is God over mind over matter. Over every part of your soul. And once, if this person says he's studying mind over matter, or let us say he says he's a Christian, and you see he can do a wonderful lot of miracles there with his through his mind, the power of the soul. He's doing a lot of miracles through the power of his soul. Then, check his own soul. If his own soul is up to the standard of the power, the miracle that he's doing over there, then he's really of God. That is, if his emotions are under God, calm and sweet. Amen. If his will is under the will of God, he's walking in the will of God. If his desires are well-rounded by the Lord and are only being brought forth what God would have him do, desire, then you know, one thing sure, that all those miracles are of God. But if you see a man doing great miracles and he will get up and bat somebody's head off or get blind mad or get hurt if you said anything to him, it means that he is not under God. His mind is under the devil. And that's where the power is coming from, to do the miracle. See? So,
the mind itself really is not the source of the power.
No.
It's an instrument for receiving.
For receiving the power. You see, your mind is just a little tiny bit of spirit in all these big spirits. Your mind hasn't got that energy to really generate such power. I've seen men in the Rosicrucianists who would think of a thing, the books on the shelf there, and he just think of that book and that book get right up and sail off and hit over there. You see, and think, he thinks it's he who is doing it. You see, he thinks it's he who is doing it. But it is the spirit to which his mind is subject that is doing it. Praise his name. Hallelujah. Power of the